Are you well?
Hey, how about you want to hold on to the water?
come back here. Right. God reigning today. Let's sing it out together. Hallelujah. The Lord our God reigns. Come on, let's declare it together.
Your needs up before God, and we want to pray and ask Him to
to meet that need, and we want to agree with you in faith, stand with you in the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you today, if you need prayer, please don't be shy. If you need prayer, the Lord is here to hear and answer our prayers. Very often the reason why we don't see our needs met or things change is because we never ask God to do anything about it. We never call upon Him. The Bible says that you do not have what you want or what you need because you don't ask God for it. Let's ask God today to help us with whatever it is you're facing. I want you to know that we are gathered here today as the family of God. We are family. Tell your neighbor, touch your neighbor, and tell them, you are family. We are family today. We're the family of God. And we want to stand with our family. And we want to pray with our family. Amen? Can anybody say amen? And so I'm going to ask you, if you need prayer, I want you to come right now. I want you to come and stand right here with me at the platform. Come on down to the altar. And we're going to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, come right now. Today is your day. If you need, you have a financial challenge or something in a relationship or your job or you're struggling with some kind of an addiction, depression, whatever it is, come right now. There is nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. And I'm going to ask, my wife's going to help me to pray. I'm going to ask Tom and Anna Carol come help me to pray. People know how to pray. If you need prayer, come right now. And church, I'm going to ask you, stretch your hands out to all these people that are coming for prayer. And pray for them. Agree with them. Lift them up before the Lord this morning.
Thank you.
me right now, family. The praise and the worship portion of the service is what helps to bring you into the presence of the Lord. And it's what brings the presence of the Lord into this place. I tell you right now, I love the praise and the worship part of our service. There's something that happens to me when I begin to give God praise. It doesn't matter how I felt when I came in. Let me tell you right now, something happens when you start to praise God. Something happens when you start to praise God. There's a freedom. There's a joy. The victory rises up within you. I will call on the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised.
We'll call upon the Lord. He alone is strong enough to save.
Nobody like you.
Your shackles are no more. When Jesus Christ has broken every chain.
Hallelujah. 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 Say thank you, Lord. Everybody say thank you, Lord. That you've broken every chain in my life. Say thank you, Lord. The shackles are no more. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Say I'm free indeed. Say thank God Almighty. I am free indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn to your neighbor and welcome them, smile at them, tell them you're glad to see them today. Give them a big smile, tell them how good they look. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to one and all. How are you today?
Great.
You know, we're practicing. We're practicing for heaven. I tell you right now, you cannot imagine what the worship and the praise is going to be like in heaven. It is going to be I can't even think of the word to describe it. It is going to be so just imagine millions and billions of people and angels singing and shouting and rejoicing and dancing and like in this room tonight. I mean, today, you know, the Rolling Stones. Anyone ever heard of the Rolling Stones? Did a concert, a free concert in Cuba. Had 1.2 million people at the concert. Never had anything that, Cuba never saw anything like that. 1.2 million people. Rolling Stones. And I watched a little bit of the concert. And I'll tell you what's amazing, is you've got a million people, and they know every word of every song. And they sing it like one person. I mean, it's like euphoric. The whole crowd singing, just totally caught up. And I thought to myself, my goodness me, shouldn't the church, shouldn't the church be a worship God greater than a Rolling Stones concert? Should never be that a Rolling Stones or any concert would put to shame the church. Because when we come to church, man, we should sing every word, every song with all our heart, with all of our passion. Man, just lift our voice up to God. Let Jupiter know that Jesus is alive and He is Lord over Jupiter. Can you say amen? I tell you right now, I'm so thankful for the worship and the grace in this church, for the team we have. I could never be happy in a church where they didn't praise God, where they didn't give God worship. I don't know about you, but I love that. I know some of you don't always get here at the start of the service, but I really encourage you, man. I don't like to miss the any of the worship and the praise. It's just something that happens to you when you begin to enter into worshiping God. There's something that happens. Amen?
Amen.
Well, tell your neighbor one more time, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Tell them, I promise I'm going to be good today. Tell them, I'm going to be good today.
As opposed to morning, everybody. Good to see you in church this morning. I love what Pastor Steve is saying because it's so true. I found myself, even in the week, I'm busy and, you know, you do all kinds of things in life. But the moment I just lean over to my phone and I put worship music on, it's like there's an atmosphere change. And straight away, I find myself in a different frame of mind. You know, I'm praying, I'm thinking about the Lord, I'm thinking about the things of God. Worship just changes the atmosphere. So we're so grateful for that, for this atmosphere changing here today. Because the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. So we expect freedom. Today, Father, we come before you. We thank you that we can step into your presence with praise and with worship. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that just moves across this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Just touch the hearts and lives of people here. Answer the questions that they have. Meet every need, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome. We want to especially welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. If you are a visitor here today, you're most welcome. We have visitors every week, and we're very glad to have you amongst us. Maybe a little different, but we hope that you just relax and enjoy it. So if you are here for the first time, what we do in this church is our ushers are just standing around the back. They've got gift bags. They'd like to just give you one right where you're sitting, and just to thank you for coming. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. In that gift bag, there's a CD from Pastor Steve. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. The visitors there, and there's also a white card. If you want, just take a minute and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. You can just drop it in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and just find out how you enjoy the service. So thank you for doing that. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Pastor Steve.
Yes. Thank you, Chester. Yes, I want to say welcome to all of our first-time visitors. We are glad you're here this morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm on. I'm on now, right? Now I'm gone again. One, two. Can you hear me? My fault. It doesn't help when you mute the microphone. The sound man's turning it up and you've got it on mute. Happy birthday to my nephew, James, over here. Actually, yesterday, 24 years old. Who else has got a birthday today? Someone else has a birthday today, right? Dan and Rachel have an anniversary today. 23 years. Married for 23 years or together 23 years?
Married
23 years. Well, praise God. I want to thank those of you who invited someone to come with you to church today. Thank you for inviting someone to come with you.
You know, you never know what's going to happen, how that person's life will be changed. That's why when you came in today, I believe you were given some of these invitation cards. We give these out so that you can use these to invite someone to church. It says you're invited. It has our service time, our website, and all those things. So take some with you. Take some of these invite cards and invite someone to come with you next Sunday to church. Amen? All right, praise God. Did you bring your Bible today? Has anyone bring their Bible to church? Why don't you hold up your Bible? Hold it up, wave it around. Hold up your Bible, wave it around, make the devil mad. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that your word is what brings us wisdom. Your word brings us life. Your word causes our faith to grow. Father, as I stand today to declare and to teach your word, I make it known that I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to help me, to anoint me, to use me. Lord, I just thank you that you rise up big within me today, that you think through my mind, that you speak through my lips. And I thank you that you carry your word by your anointing to every person's heart, that you cause faith to rise up strong. I thank you, Lord, that you bring understanding, you bring revelation to our minds. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, I felt impressed of the Lord today to teach about faith. I felt impressed of the Lord to teach about faith. So I want to speak about faith that moves God to act. Faith that moves God to act. Do you know, understanding faith and how it works is really the most important thing that you can learn as a Christian. Faith is the most important subject in the Bible. And I'll tell you why it's so important to understand faith and how it works. Number one, the Bible says that you cannot please God without faith. You can't please Him without faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6 it says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him." It's impossible. That means not possible, right? You cannot please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this tells us that faith is what pleases God, right? In other words, the only way that I can be pleasing to God is when I'm exercising my faith, when I'm using my faith, when I'm believing God for something that's pleasing to Him. Amen?
Amen.
And when I say faith, what do I mean? When I talk about faith that moves God, what do I mean? Well, the dictionary defines the word faith as it says it needs to have complete trust or confidence in someone or something, strong belief in God, or in the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than on proof. It means complete trust or complete confidence in someone or in something. I'm talking about having complete trust in God and complete confidence in Him and in His Word. Because you see, if you have faith in God, you've got to have faith in His Word. If you don't have any trust in my word, then you don't have any trust in me. If you trust me, then you trust what I tell you. You trust my word. Amen?
Amen.
So we talk. Go back for me, please. Until I'm finished. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. I'm talking about coming to a place in your life where you confidently believe that God will do just what He said He'll do in His Word. You trust that God will do what He said He will do in His Word.
Amen.
Without faith, you can never please God. The only way you please God is through your faith. So is it important to understand what faith is? Is it important to understand how faith works? Because we can't please God without it. Amen? Say, the only way that I please God is by my faith. Then number two, God wants you and He expects you to live by faith. The Word of God declares, I'm going to give you four scriptures that all say the same thing. The first one is in Romans 1:17. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Who is the just? Who's it talking about? Who are the just who must live by faith? The word just means those who've been declared righteous. That's talking about you and me. We've been declared righteous. We are the just. We are children of God. And the Bible says that we are to live by our faith. Amen. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. It says, the just shall live by his faith. Galatians 3 verse 11 says, no one is justified in the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yeah. And then again in Hebrews 10 verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Isn't it interesting, it is to me, that these four scriptures all say the exact same thing. Four times. Anytime God tells you the same thing four times, you know it's important. This must be important. God wants me to live by faith. Faith must be a way of life. It must be a lifestyle. When we live our life trusting God, we live our life trusting in His Word. If the Word of God says it, then we believe it. Yes. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. If I'm supposed to live by faith, then surely I need to understand what it is. I need to understand the principles that govern this faith, because how can I live by something if I don't fully understand it? Hello? We've got tons of Christians around the world trying to live by faith, but it's not their fault. They haven't been taught. They've never been explained. They don't understand what it means to live by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the contemporary version says, for we live by faith, not by what we see. The King James says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by what we see. If we're to live by faith, then we must understand what it is and we must understand how it works. Amen? So I'm going to start today explaining as clearly and as simply as I possibly can, what is this faith that moves God to act? I want us to understand the biblical principles that make faith work. Number three, faith brings victory. You cannot walk in victory if you don't understand how to operate in this kind of faith. 1 John 5 verse 4 declares, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. What is it that causes us to be victorious and to conquer every obstacle that we face? It is our faith that enables us to have the victory. You cannot have victories without faith. Faith enables you to live an overcoming, victorious Christian life. Now, it doesn't mean that you never have any challenges. It doesn't mean that you never have any enemies. It doesn't mean that you never have any problems. But faith enables you to conquer and have the victory every time. Because faith is what moves God to act in your life. Faith is what attracts God. Faith is what pleases Him. Faith is what releases His power in your life. That's why it's so important to understand faith. And could it be that's why so many Christians are not living a victorious Christian life, is because they've never been taught how to operate in this kind of faith. They've just been told, have faith, but it's never been explained what it means and how do you do that. Number four, you're in a fight of faith. Why is it so important to understand faith? Because you're in a fight of faith. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Of faith. There's a fight to faith. The enemy is after your faith. The enemy is after your faith. Very often things happen to us. I was praying for you earlier, Natalie. I felt to say that to you, very often things happen to us and sometimes we don't realize the enemy is behind it. He's really just trying to steal our faith.
Yes.
See, that's the only fight that you've got to be concerned about is the faith fight.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say fight the devil. You hear Christians say, well, I'm fighting the devil, man. Rolling up my sleeves, I'm going to fight that devil. The Bible doesn't say fight the devil. You know what the Bible says? Casting out. Mark 16, verse 15, the believer will cast out demons. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee. James 4, verse 7. The Bible says, walk on him. Luke 10, 19, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Bible says, walk on him. The Bible says, don't give him any place. Ephesians 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So the Bible says, cast him out, resist him, walk on him and don't give him any place. It doesn't say fight the devil. Jesus already fought him. Jesus already defeated him. Jesus already gave up authority over the devil. Listen, Jesus already whooped the devil. He already put a beating on him that he'll never ever forget. I didn't have to fight the devil. Jesus already fought him. I've been given authority over him. He's already been defeated. However, I've got to fight the fight of faith.
Yeah.
The enemy's trying to steal my faith. The enemy's trying to discourage me. Listen, you've got to realize the things that happen around you, understand it's designed to try and steal your faith in God.
That's
right. How can you fight the good fight of faith if you don't understand what faith is and how it works? The devil's after your faith. It's the only way he can defeat you. If you keep him in the arena of, faith, you'll defeat him every time. But if the enemy can get you out of faith, get you discouraged, get you in unbelief, get you complaining, he'll defeat you.
Amen.
Number five, you cannot receive anything from God without faith. Faith is the only way to receive from God. James 1 verse 5 declares, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But, let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Whom is not expected? Supposed to receive anything from God. The Bible says we must not expect to receive anything from God unless we ask in faith without doubting. The only way you receive from God is through faith. Everything you receive from God is from faith. In Matthew chapter 9, two blind men came to Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 29, he touched their eyes and he said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. And if you read it in the New Living Bible, it says it like this. Then he touched their eyes and he said, because of your faith, it will happen. And they were healed. Those two blind men were instantly healed. And Jesus said, because of your faith, that's why this is going to happen. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, there's a story of a Roman centurion. A Roman officer comes to Jesus. Let me read it to you. Verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak a word. I also am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and if I say to this one, go, he goes, and another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I haven't found such great faith, not even in Israel. And verse 13 says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. As you have believed. According to your faith, it'll be done unto you. Your faith is what causes God to act in your life. Are you still with me? Faith is the only way you receive from God. Everything you receive from God comes by faith, starting with your salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 declares, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, obviously salvation is a gift from God. But this verse is telling us, not only is your salvation a gift from God, but the very faith that brought you your salvation was a gift from God as well. Everything you ever receive from God will be because of your faith, family. We are saved by grace through faith. I mean, you know, I'm talking about even when it comes to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving healing, financial blessing, deliverance, answers to prayer, wisdom, guidance, favor, whatever it is that you need from God, it's going to come the same way because of your faith. That's why it's imperative for us to understand what faith is, how faith works, because it's the key to everything in the kingdom of God. Number six, why is it so important to understand faith? Because faith removes the impossible in your life. Faith removes impossibilities in your life. Right. In Matthew chapter 17, in verse 20, Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing will be impossible for you. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible for you. Say this, say, faith removes impossibilities. Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus replied, "Why do you say, 'If you can'? Anything is possible if someone has faith."
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, anything is possible with faith. Come on, tell them, neighbor on the other side, anything is possible with faith. Faith removes impossibilities from your life. Anything is possible when you have faith in God. Faith makes the impossible possible. There's no mountain that you cannot move through faith. Faith causes miracles in your life. Faith is the spiritual currency in the spiritual world. Just like in America. What is the currency in America? The U.S. dollar. Do you know that the U.S. dollar is the currency in America? And if you have enough money, enough dollars, you can buy anything that you want, anything that is manufactured. And in fact, even if they don't manufacture it, if you've got enough money, they'll make it just for you, the way you want it. Is this true or not true? Anything in America, right? Well, in the spiritual realm, there's a currency. And just like money, it'll bring you anything you need, anything you desire. You know what that currency is?
Faith.
Faith.
Amen.
Faith is the currency in the spiritual world. Just like money is a currency in the economic world. Faith in the spiritual world is what you need to get whatever you need from God.
Amen.
Faith in God. That's what you need. Pastor Steve, that's what I need. I need faith. I wish God would give me more faith. Pastor Steve, I'm praying that God would give me more faith. Well, you're wasting your time. Because faith doesn't come by praying for it. Faith only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
Romans 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Listen, actually, you don't need more faith. Pastor Steve, I need more faith. Actually, you don't need more faith. Because if you're a born-again child of God, you already have faith. You already have the God kind of faith. But what you need to do is to learn what faith is, to learn how it works. You need to learn how to use the faith that you already have. Romans 12 verse 3 declares this, are saved through the grace given to me, to everyone, to everyone, to everyone, to everyone, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, the King James says God has dealt to each one the measure of faith, and I like that. God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. Every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith, the kind of faith that created this world, the kind of faith that moves mountains.
Hallelujah.
You've got a measure of the God kind of faith deposited down in your heart when you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you were born again and became a child of God. God deposited the measure of his faith down in your heart. Ephesians 2 verse 8, we read it earlier. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Yes, salvation is a gift from God, of course, but so is the faith that brought you that salvation. The faith that caused you to be saved, that faith was a gift from God. How did God get that gift of faith to you? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, I'll read from verse 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will or shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, when you heard the gospel, faith, you received faith. When you heard the gospel, you received and brought you faith to be saved. Remember when the angel appeared to Cornelius and told him to send for Simon Peter. He said to him in Acts 11, he will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. The angel said to Cornelius, go and call for Simon Peter to come to your house. He's going to tell you words by which you can be saved. How do you get saved? By words. Because people get saved by hearing the word of God. That's why Jesus told us to go and preach the gospel to every person. Because that's how God deals faith to people. If we don't preach the word, then they can't hear. And if they can't hear, then faith can't come. And if faith can't come, then they can't believe. And if they can't believe, then they cannot be saved. So we have to go and preach the word. We have to go and share the word, because then faith will come and people will be saved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Faith came to you. When you heard the word of God, faith came to you. The day that you heard the word of God and you accepted Jesus is when God dropped the measure of the God kind of faith into your heart. You have the God kind of faith on the inside of you. You have to, otherwise you couldn't be saved. But here's the problem. Some Christians, they have this measure of the God kind of faith. They've had faith for years, but they've been sitting doing nothing with it, primarily because they haven't been taught how. So they're going through life struggling, trying to make it on their own wits, instead of using the faith that God gave them to receive from God whatever they need and allow him to help them. Faith is what releases God's power in your life, family. God can do so much for us when we walk by faith, when we live by faith, when we exercise faith. Let me tell you, faith changes things. Faith moves God to act in your life. How many of you know that you have faith? Hold your hand up if you know that you have faith. How many of you think that I have more faith than you do? Hold your hand up. Pastor Steve, I think you've got more faith than me. Hold your hand up. Oh, we got a smart crowd here today. We got a smart bunch here today. You're right. I don't have more faith than you. If I said to you, let's see, someone now, who's got the biggest muscles here today? Beside me. If I had Tom Solis, if you said, huh? I'm Taylor, I'm mixing you up with another Tom. I know his last name is Solis. But Tom back there, he's been working out. If you saw him, he's been in bodybuilding competitions. I mean, he's got an amazing physique. And if I said, Tom, stand, take off your shirt, I don't think I'm going to ask you to do that, Tom. But if I said, stand, take off your shirt, then I said, how many of you think Tom's got more muscles than me? The truth is, he doesn't have any more muscles than I do. He's just developed the muscles that he has. I've got the same amount of muscles as him. He just develops this. Right?
Right.
Well, I don't have any more faith than you. Billy Graham doesn't have any more faith than you. We all have been dealt the same measure of faith. No one has any advantage or disadvantage. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or not. It doesn't matter what color you are. Your Heavenly Father has given every one of us the same measure of faith. You have what it takes to become a champion in God. You have what it takes to live victoriously. But it's up to you to find out how faith works and develop your faith. Grow your faith. And that's what we're going to do in the next few weeks. I feel impressed with the Lord to really focus on teaching you on faith and growing your faith and developing your faith. Because you know what? Everything you ever receive from God is going to come by faith. And you cannot please God without faith. And you cannot have victory without faith. So we're going to study this thoroughly for the subject of faith. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 in verse 3, Paul wrote to them, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, your faith grows exceedingly, your faith grows exceedingly, your faith grows exceedingly. Say, my faith is growing exceedingly. Tell your neighbor, your faith is growing exceedingly. Notice that your faith can grow. Your faith can grow. Your faith can be developed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Listen, your faith can be developed just like the muscles in your body can be developed. You develop your faith like you develop your muscles. You know how you develop your muscles? By feeding them and exercising them. Do you know how you develop your faith? By feeding your faith on the Word of God and by exercising your faith. That's how your faith gets developed. That's how your faith gets strong. Your faith gets stronger by feeding it on the Word and by using it every day. By using it every day. By applying your faith. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I want to encourage you today. Make a decision. Decide that you are going to live by faith. You are going to walk by faith. That means that you are going to live your life trusting God, having confidence in God. You are going to live your life having confidence in the Word of God. That if God said it, that's it. You believe it. Doesn't matter even if I don't understand it. If God said it, His Word has final and absolute authority in my life. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to believe in God. Make that decision. Remember, what is faith? Faith means you believe and you trust what God says in His Word. In spite of everything else, in spite of how anything else looks, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of what people say, in spite of what your own mind is telling you, you believe what God says in His Word. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now turn over quickly in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I want to get into this verse. We're not going to finish this today. It's going to be a little different. This is going to be a series of teachings where I can't get everything I want to teach you in one session. So we're going to carry on next week. But we're going to get started here in Hebrews 11. 1. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Are you here still?
Yes.
Are you getting something out of this?
Yes.
Hebrews 11 verse 1. Famous biblical, the Bible verse that defines faith. It says, Now faith is. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now there's three things I'm going to point out in this verse. There's three things I want to point out. Number one, faith has a time. Do we have that? Faith has a time. We don't have that point up there? There you go. Faith has a time. There it says, now faith is. Now faith is. time when faith is faith and when it isn't. You've got to know the difference. Because otherwise you can think that you're operating and acting in faith, but actually you're not. Now, when the Bible says now faith is, what tense is now?
Present.
Present tense. What tense is?
Present.
Go back, Brian. Yes. It's present tense. Now is present. Is present tense. Will be is future tense. Was is past tense. The Bible says now, present tense. Faith is. Faith is always in the present tense. Now is faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. I said if it's not now, it's not faith. Yet I hear people say, how many times have you heard someone say, I know, one day God's going to heal me. Yeah. One day, Pastor Steve, I just know one day the Lord's going to do it for me. One day I believe I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit. One day, one of these days it's going to happen. That's not faith. That's hope. Hope is always in the future tense. Hope is always pointing to the future. But faith is always now. See, I've got to get it into the present tense. Faith is always present tense. Say, faith is now.
Faith is now.
Say, now is faith.
Now is faith.
It's one of the most important things to understand about faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. And it's not going to work. Anything that points to the future is hope. It's not faith. Faith says, it's mine. I believe I have it now. Hope says, I'll get it one day. I believe I'll get it one day. I hope I'll get it one day. That's hope. Many people are simply hoping God hears them and hoping that they receive. But as long as you just hope, it'll never materialize. When you exercise faith, then it will.
Yeah.
You know, I learned so much about faith and living by faith from Kenneth Hagin. Jill and I attended Rhema Bible Training School in Johannesburg that was affiliated with Rhema Bible College and Bible School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that was founded by Kennedy Hagin. And so I learned so much under the ministry of Kennedy Hagin. I learned so much about faith by Pastor Theo. And Pastor Theo is the one who told me about Kenneth Hagin. And so we started studying his books and then went to Rhema Bible School. And Kenneth Hagin has just an amazing testimony about the power of faith. Kenneth Hagin was born with a deformed heart condition, an incurable blood disease, and paralysis. And so he was sick his whole life. He never ran and played like other kids. In fact, five doctors said that he would never live past the age of 16. It was impossible because of his heart, because of his condition. He'd never live beyond the age of 16. And by the time he was 16, he became totally bedfast. He was paralyzed from the waist down, and he became bedfast. And he lay in that bed for 16 months. And he didn't have the teaching materials that we have today. He had his grandma's Bible. And he prayed, Lord, please heal me. Lord, please heal me. He begged God to heal him. Sometimes he'd pray all night long. Lord, please heal me. He'd pray all night long sometimes. He'd pray and he'd feel sure that God heard him. But then he'd check his heart. And he'd find it still wasn't beating right. And he'd look at his legs. And he'd see they're still paralyzed. And he'd cry out, Lord, I thought you were going to heal me. I felt like you did, but you didn't. And he would be so discouraged. He wouldn't even open his Bible for a month. He decided he might as well give up. And he would go right down to death's door. But he wanted to live so badly that he would hold on to the headboard of the bed. And you can see where he held on the headboard fighting death because the varnish on the headboard had worn off where he held on the bed as death came for him and he refused to die. And he would come back to the Word of God. And finally, after laying on that bed for 16 months, he read the scripture in his grandmother's Bible where Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. What things? Say things.
Things.
Whatever things you desire when you pray. Whatever things you desire when you pray. Someone said, Pastor Steve, you should never pray and ask God for the desires of your heart. That's selfish. I would rather listen to Jesus than listen to you. Jesus said, when you pray, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. When you pray, believe you receive. And you shall have it. So Kevin Hagin prayed. He said, Lord Jesus, when you were here on the earth, you said that whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. He said, Lord, I desire to be healed. I desire to be healthy. And you said, when I pray, and I pray. And you said, believe. He said, dear Lord Jesus, if you stood here beside my bed in the flesh, and I can see you with my physical eyes, just like I can see my mother, and I can reach out my physical hand and lay my hands upon yours, and you said to me, son, the trouble with you is you just not believe. I would have to say to you, dear Lord Jesus, you're lying about it. I do believe. And on the inside of him, down on the inside, he heard these words. Yes, you believe, all right, as far as you know. But that last clause goes with the verse. It says, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And suddenly, after 16 months of lying, bedfast, and paralyzed, suddenly it's like a light was turned on. And Kenneth Hagin said, suddenly I saw it. Suddenly he had a revelation. Suddenly he saw where he'd been missing it. And he said, dear Lord Jesus, I see it. I see it. I have to believe that I receive my healing. I have to believe that I receive healing for my heart. While my heart is still not beating right, I have to believe I receive healing from paralysis. Even though from the natural standpoint I'm still paralyzed, if I believe that I receive it, then I shall have it. You see, most people are waiting until they have it, and then they want to believe it. You've got to believe you receive it before you actually see it. You see, Mark 11 verse 24 and Hebrews 11 verse 1 agree. Because Mark 11, 24 says, therefore, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, listen to me. You have to believe that you receive when you pray, present tense. Now, faith is not believe we receive it when we have it. He had never done that. He never believed that he received anything. He wanted to first feel that he was healed, and then he was going to believe that he received it. But you see, you don't have to believe it then, because then you know it. You don't need to exercise any faith when you can see it. You've got to exercise faith when you can't see it. And instantly, he saw what he'd been doing. He saw that he'd been hoping for all those months to receive his healing, and it hadn't worked. And now, without anybody telling him to, he lifted up his hands while he lay there in bed, flat on his back, and his lower body was still paralyzed. And he said, Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, thank God, I believe I received my healing. I believe that I am healed. And now he got it in the right tense. You see, now faith is present tense. If it's not now, it's not faith. If it's not present tense, it's not faith. If you say, I believe God's going to heal me, that's not faith. Faith says, I believe I'll receive my healing now. Are you with me?
Amen.
So Kenneth Hagin said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for my healing. I believe my heart is well. I believe my paralysis is healed. I thank you, Lord, for the healing of my body. And he started praising God for about 10 minutes, lifting his hands, praising God. And almost immediately, the devil challenged him. The devil came with a thought to his mind and said, now look at you, you're a pretty looking thing. You claim to be a Christian and now you started lying. Don't you know the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake with fire and brimstone? Do you know any other time the devil would have denied that there is a hell? He would have denied that there is a lake of fire. He knew, Kenneth Hagin knew, this is the devil speaking, because listen to me, any time you have a thought of doubt or discouragement, I can guarantee you it's from the enemy. It's not from God, it's from the enemy. And so Kenneth Hagin said, yes, I know that devil, but I didn't lie. The devil says, yes, you did. You said you were healed. And and you're not healed? Why don't you feel your heart? You're not healed. And Kenneth Hagin said he was in such a habit of feeling his heart that unconsciously he reached to feel it. And when he did, he slapped his hand and he said, "Don't you do it." Immediately he said, "Devil, I didn't say anything about how I look. I didn't say anything about how I feel. I said, I believe that I am healed. I believe I receive the answer to my prayer. I believe that my heart is beating normally." He said to him, "Devil," when Jesus was on the earth, he said, "Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Now Jesus said it, and what he said is so, and I believe it. And if I believe it, then I'll have it. And if you want to argue about it, go and argue with Jesus, because I didn't say it anyhow. He's the one who said it. So if you want to go argue with him. And that just put a stop to the devil. He went back to praising and thanking God. After about 10 minutes, down in his spirit, down in his heart, he heard these words: "Now you believe that you're healed." But healed people don't have any business being in bed in the middle of the day. They need to be up. And so Kenneth Hagin, he said, "Lord, that's right. Praise God, I'm going to get up." Do you know that faith requires action?
Amen.
Do you know that faith is acting upon what you believe?
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin said he didn't look any better. He didn't feel any better. In fact, he didn't have any feeling from his waist down. He was still paralyzed. So with his hands, he pushed himself into a seated position on the bed. And then he took his legs and he physically pushed his legs off the bed. And his feet hit the floor like a couple of bricks, a couple of planks of wood. Boom. He could see his feet, but he couldn't feel them. And the devil fought him every inch of the way. These thoughts came to his mind like machine gun bullets. "Now you can't walk. You know you can't walk. You're not healed. You know you're not healed. You're lying about it. You're going to fall on the floor and you're going to have to lie there. Remember, it hasn't been 30 days since you fell out of the bed and you had to lie on the floor for 45 minutes until your older brother came in and he helped and he put you back into the bed. But your brother's not here. He's gone to Oklahoma and your grandmother's old and your mother is sick and they can't lift you up. Are you going to lie on the floor until 5 p.m. when your grandpa comes home?" Listen, let me tell you something. If you are going to walk by faith, if you are going to live by faith, you've got to learn how to ignore the devil. You've got to learn how to switch him off and not pay attention to what he's putting in your mind. So Kenneth Hagin, he took hold of the bedpost. His legs still weren't functioning, so he sagged at the knees and he's holding onto the bedpost. Lifting one hand as best he could. "Thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. I want to declare in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus that I'm healed. The angels, I want to declare in the presence of the devil and the demons that the word of God is true. And I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I believe I have received my healing." He said, the room started spinning around. He just shut his eyes and he held onto that bedpost. And when he opened his eyes, everything had stopped spinning. And he said, "Thank God. According to the word of God, I'm healed. I believe I'm healed." And he said, suddenly, he felt feeling come over him. It seemed like it started at the top of his head. And it went down over his body. It was like oil being poured upon his head. And it went all the way down. And when it came to his waist, all of a sudden, feeling started to come. It went out, down his legs, out of his toes. Every nerve in his leg, it was like 2 million pins were sticking into his legs. Feeling came back, and then he just felt normal. His paralysis was gone. He said, "I'm going to walk now," and he did. He learned the secret to faith, that faith is now. Do you know that Kenneth Hagin went on to be 86 years old, that he preached the gospel for 64 years of his life, that he lived a totally healthy life. He brought healing and health to millions of people. He learned the secret of faith. Faith is now. Tell your neighbor, faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. If you say, "Well, I believe one day in the sweet by and by, then, you know, this is what God's going to do." No. Faith says, "I believe I have it now." Faith says, "I believe I receive it now." Doesn't matter how it looks. I'm going to get into that next week, how that faith. See, we just dealt with that one part. Now faith is. But next week we're going to talk about how the faith gives substance to your hope. How the faith is the evidence of things not seen. How that when you operate in faith, you've got to be willing to ignore what your senses, what you see with your eyes, what you get. You've got to ignore that if you're going to walk in faith. Because very often, what God says and what your feelings are telling you are totally the opposite. And you've got to learn how to ignore what your feelings are telling you and ignore the way things look and continue to believe what God says. Because if you do that, that's the kind of faith that causes God to act in your life. That's the kind of faith that receives miracles from God. That's the kind of faith that moves mountains out of your life. That's the kind of faith that creates the world in which you live. This creative kind of faith. We are learning how to operate in the faith that moves God to act. Did you get something out of this? Go to the very last page for me if that's possible. Give me on the last page or the last second page, because I gave him a lot of notes that I didn't get through today, but that's okay. Here's the thing. I don't want to rush this. I want you, over the next couple of weeks, to gain a fresh, new understanding of what it means to live by faith. So say this. Say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm not a doubter. Say, I have a measure. I have the measure of the God kind of faith that created the world. In the very beginning, say, I have the vision of the mountain-moving faith on the inside of me. Say, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to grow my faith by hearing the Word of God and by using my faith. Amen? Say, I'm going to please God with my faith. Say, my faith is bringing me victories. Say, I'm going to use my faith to trust God for the impossible. Say, my faith is giving substance to the things that I hope for. Say, my faith is making the things that I hope for a reality. Say, my faith is moving God to act on my behalf in the name of Jesus. Say, I believe the Word of God is true. And I am going to live my life having confidence, faith in God, and in His Word, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me say this to you, family. What we're doing today is, as I said, is like a teaching series where I'm going to take the subject of faith, and every week we're going to look at another aspect of it. And by the end of, I don't know how long we'll go, a few weeks here, but I promise you now, by the end of it, your understanding of faith will be transformed. Your faith will rise up like never before. The only way to please God is with faith. That means that if I'm going to please God, I need to be exercising my faith, trusting Him for the impossible.
Amen.
Are you still here?
Yes.
Abraham. Why did Abraham please God? Because Abraham believed God for the impossible.
Yes.
To have a baby. He was 99. That pleasing to God. The only way you can please God is with your faith. So that means that you are trusting God. You're using your faith, believing God for miracles, for victories, for breakthrough. Let me tell you, that's pleasing to Him. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads for a moment, if you don't mind. I want you to just close your eyes. I want to pray for you today. While your heads are bowed, Father, I pray for every person here this morning. I pray, Lord, that your word gone deep into every heart. And I pray, Lord, that your word not return void, but that your word will accomplish that which you have destined. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us not to just be hearers of your word, but I thank you for helping us to be doers of your word. I thank you for helping us to put into practice what we've learned this morning. To walk by faith. To trust you. To believe what you say. No matter how things may look. Because we know, Lord, that your word is eternal. And that you said that we must not look at the things which we see, but we must look at the things which we cannot see. Because the things which are seen with our natural eyes are just temporary. And they change. But your word is eternal. Your word never changes. So, Lord, we set our eyes upon your word. And we determine today that we're going to live our life trusting you walking by faith and believing everything that you've said in your word is true. And then everything that you've said in your word, you will do, Lord. You watch over your word to perform in the name of Jesus. And while we have our heads bowed and while we have our eyes closed, I want to ask, before we close the service today, I want to pray one last prayer. And this prayer is so powerful. I mean, this prayer is a prayer that I prayed when I was 16 years old. My whole life changed. I want to pray today for anybody who is here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. And the question is this: if you were to die today, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain that heaven is where you would spend all of eternity? Can you say that you know that all is right between you and God? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm even a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church today. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure? Are you certain that you would go to heaven? Are you sure where you would spend eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake that you've ever made in your life, it's forgiven, it's washed away. You can know for certain when you die that heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to make sure all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that is you, I want you quickly, right now, just lift up your hand. Just lift your hand up high, looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up quickly right now. Say, here, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me too. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure that I want to go to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Is anyone today that would say, yes, pray for me? All right. I don't see any hands raised. So I'm assuming everyone here, all believers, I'm assuming you're all saved. Praise God. Amen. Well, look up at me for a moment, if you would. You want to go ahead? All right.
I love to hear teaching on faith. How about you?
Amen.
Yes. 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 And the rise up on the inside of you guys. Amen. We're going to use that this week. But family, now's the time where we are up in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. And on your seats, there are envelopes prepared, and there are various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. You'll be able to see that. You can give by Thanksgiving. You can give by on our app. But begin to prepare yourself. And I'd just like to share a scripture. And I want to just, I knew Pastor Steve was teaching on faith today, and I want to say that we need to tithe and give with expectancy and faith. Malachi 3 says this, God said, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. So that's the word of the Lord. Now, I heard a preacher friend of ours, Mike Murdoch, he said this. He said his dad was a preacher, and his dad tithed all his life, and he built churches. And he said, but his dad kind of tithed because he was taught in a way, you should tithe or else God's going to burn your house down. It was kind of like fear motivated. And he said his dad never earned more than $120 a week all his life, even though he tithed. And he said this, he made this statement, and it really stuck with me. He said, tithing does not guarantee prosperity. But tithing with faith and expectation does guarantee prosperity. So there's a difference there. You know, if you think about the children of Israel, if you know the story where, in the book of Numbers, it tells the story about when the children of Israel were going, God had promised them that they were going to go into the promised land. They were going to go and be blessed and prosperous, right? But the Bible says in Hebrews, the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Just like Pastor Steve said, we don't get anything unless we mix our faith with it, right? And so they heard, the children of Israel heard God say, I'm going to bless you, you're going to go into a prosperous land. They heard God say it, but they never mixed, they chose not to believe Him. They didn't mix their faith with it. And so us too, we can limit God. We're talking about finances here, as we tithe and as we give, and God promises to bless us, to flood us with blessing. We can limit what God can do in our lives if we don't mix faith with what we hear, what God said. If we don't believe that God is really going to open the windows of heaven above me and bless me, we're not going to see that happen. We have to. We don't receive anything without faith. Amen? We can limit God by looking at the current market and saying, the economy is so bad that I just can't get ahead. We can limit God by looking at people around us and saying, everybody's having a hard time. That's when we limit God, because we're looking at something other than the Word of God, right? We can look at our family and say, nobody in my family's ever done anything great. Nobody in my family's ever prospered, ever owned their own home, ever, you know, whatever. We could look at that, and that way we limit God. But when we choose to tithe and to believe, as we bring our tithe to the Lord, we believe that what He said is true. And we actively, we speak like His word is true. Regardless of our circumstances, we say, thank you, Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. You meet my every need. Thank you that I have more than enough, that every need is met, every bill is paid. Amen? When you, the windows of heaven are open above me. When you do that, you're like Caleb. Because even though the children of Israel, on one hand, they're saying, God said it, but I don't know. I don't know if He can do it. But Caleb, on the other hand, he said this, and it's the last verse I'll read. In verse 30 of Numbers 13, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So when we give, family, what I'm encouraging us to do is mix faith.
Yeah.
Be expectant. Know this, and don't just drop your tithe and your offering. And don't just drop it in and forget about it. But say, Father, I thank you that your word is true today. I thank you that you are blessing me, that every need I have is met in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's say this together. I want us to make our confession of faith.
Before you do that,
okay.
Come and stand here with me. You know, as we're going to be studying Hebrews 11 verse 1. We're going to carry on next week with the Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you go down to verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
No, that's...
By faith, Abraham offered... Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How many of you remember the story of Cain and Abel? How many of you remember that God accepted Cain's? God accepted Abel's offering, but he wasn't pleased with Cain's offering. How many of you remember that story? And you know why? Have you ever wondered why? Why did God accept, and why was He pleased with Abel's offering, but not with Cain's? The key is, it says, by faith, Abraham bought. It's with me today. Abel. By faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. Abel gave, and brought. Abel's giving was a demonstration of his faith. Now, the Bible says very clearly in Genesis that Abel brought the firstborn of his flocks. He brought the firstborn and gave it to God, and God was pleased. But it says that Cain, it doesn't say anything about Cain bringing the first fruits or the firstborn. It says in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. It just says he brought an offering. And you see, that's what a lot of Christians do today. The reason why some of you, God's pleased with your offering is because it's by faith. And other people, they're tipping God. Are you with me? Some of you, you're tipping God. And that's why it's not pleasing to him. Because, you see, faith is when we obey God and we do what he wants. I said faith is demonstrated in your obedience. God has told us to bring the first fruits, the firstborn, the first tenth, the tithe of every dollar I get belongs to God. So when I come and I bring the tithe to God, I'm demonstrating my faith. Because you can't tithe without faith. You can't do it without faith. It's a demonstration of your faith. So today, family, our giving demonstrates our faith. Our giving shows God that we trust Him and that we believe Him. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. It's one thing to get all excited and shout when I start preaching and you like something I say and you get all excited. You should get just as excited when it comes to giving to God, because it is an expression of your faith in God. If you really believe that God was going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, you would be excited about giving to Him. I can't wait to get to church and put my tithe into that offering, because I know that it's pleasing God, and He opens the windows of heaven and He's pouring blessing upon me. You give with excitement. You give with faith. You give willingly. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, man. The offering part of the service is not, well, let's get it over with fast as we can. Hurry up, Pastor Steve, come on. No, this is my faith. I'm demonstrating my faith to God. God is Jesus. He's walking up and down these aisles right now. He's watching. What did you write down in that envelope? He's watching. Are you giving in faith or are you tipping God? Hold that in your hand. Hold your tithe. Hold your offering in your hand. Say this. Say, Lord,
I am giving,
and I am tithing because of my faith in you. Say, it is my faith that causes me to willingly give to you and tithe the first part of all my income. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you that your word is true. Say, Lord, I thank you that because of my obedience, I believe that the windows of heaven are open over my life. Say it again. Say, the windows of heaven are open over my life. Say, Lord, thank you for pouring blessing upon me, pouring favor, increase, abundance in the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord, for blessing the work of my hand. Thank you, Lord, for bringing increase. Say, thank you, Lord, for opening new doors for me. Say, thank you, Lord, for supplying all of my needs. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise God. What is that? All right.
Praise God.
Do you have an announcement to make?
I have one announcement to make. Mandy, screen, stand up a moment. There you are. The Lunch Club meets every last Sunday of the month, so that is today. And they're going over to the Golden Pavilion, which is in the Staples Center right across the road. If you'd like to meet them, it's open to anyone in our church. Maybe you'd just like to have lunch with a few people from church. Just see Mandy afterwards. They're going to meet there 15 minutes after service ends. It's a Chinese restaurant across there, and it'll be a great time of fellowship together. So, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Well, ushers, are you ready today? Is everyone ready to give today?
Yeah.
How many givers are in the house today? How many cheerful givers? How many believing givers today? How many glad and happy to give today? Well, God loves the cheerful giver. Amen. Now, just want to say to Andre over here, we have a new couple, Andre and Janae. Andre and Janae, right here, stand up for us if you don't mind. The new couple that just moved over from Arizona. Thank you. They're from South Africa. They're South Africans. And they've been going to Christian Family Church Sarasota, I guess for the last year or so, maybe longer than that, 18 months they've been here. And then he just got a job offer, they moved over here. So I just want to welcome them here today. Please make them feel welcome. Also, I want to say this is before we go home today, that I am starting a new Christian growth seminar on Tuesday, March the 7th. I'm going to be holding it at my house. If you have not attended the Christian Growth Seminar, I want to encourage you to sign up for it today, to enroll for it today. Let me tell you what the Christian Growth Seminar is. It's a Bible study class that I teach over 4 weeks that will really transform your life. You will learn so much about the Bible. I have had so many people that have said to me, Pastor Steve, I've been a Christian for 20 years, and I learned more in the 4 nights of the Christian Growth Seminar than I learned my whole Christian life. I have had so many people tell me that. You will learn so much in this class. You will grow so much. You will learn how to pray. You will learn about, you know, what belongs to you as a member of God's family. You'll learn about your inheritance. You'll learn about water baptism. You'll learn about how to receive the power of God in your life. There's just so many things that you will learn. I would encourage you, if you have not signed up, I won't be doing another class for a couple of months. So if you miss this class, don't come to me the next week and say, Pastor Steve, when are you doing the next class? Because if you haven't done it, this is the time to enroll, to sign up. It's free of charge. It'll be starting on March the 7th, Tuesday night. So if you haven't done the class, you need to sign up today. I want to ask you to lift up your hand, and the ushers are going to give you an enrollment registration card. If you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, lift your hand up now in the name of Jesus. I pray that an angel of God will come next to you and lift your hand up in the air like that. If you haven't done the class, lift your hand and register. Believe me, you will be so glad that you did this class. You will learn so much. It will change your life. Amen. How many of you have done the Christian Growth Seminar? Wave your hand at me. All right, everyone who can, wave your hand. Your hand should be up now to register and come and attend the class. Get a registration card and come and join us. Then also, this week we're meeting in Connect Groups. We have a Connect Group in Stewart, Connect Group in West Palm Beach, Connect Group in Jupiter. If you'd like to become part of a Connect Group, just fill in a card on the counter at the back. Ask one of the ushers, fill in the Connect Group card, and we'll have someone call you and let you know where the closest Connect Group is. And then finally, I need some helpers. On Saturday, March the 11th, we want to do a clear out at our storage unit. We've got a big storage unit, actually two of them, and we need to do a clear out. We're going to try and consolidate it, and I need some help to help us. So I'm looking for 4 or 5 people who will come on March the 11th, come and help us clear out our storage area. Only take a couple of hours, I should imagine. So how many would love to come and help on March the 11th? On Saturday, March the 11th, to come and help us as the storage unit. Thank you, Karen. You always volunteer for everything. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jim, Brian, Nick, awesome, Bruce, all the regular helpers. Thank you so much. On March the 11th, we are going to meet at the container, which is right here in Jupiter.
On the military trail.
Well, we want to tell them the time we're going to meet too.
Yes.
But it's, just so you know, make a note, it's Jim, who is it who volunteered? Jim, Karan, Brian, write this down, somebody, Nick, Bruce. And you remember that?
Yes.
I want to thank all of our volunteers who served today. Thank you, our setup team, our children's church worship, our worship team, our ushers, our greeters, our book table, everyone who served today, we appreciate you. Thank you. Teamwork makes the dream work. Thank you for helping. Thank you for serving. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the power of faith. We thank you that faith removes impossibilities from our life. Lord, I thank you as we go out of here today that we are going to walk by faith in a greater way. We're going to trust you in a greater way than ever before, Father. I thank you for what you're doing in our life. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you that this week will be a great week, Lord. I thank you that you guide us this week. You direct us. I thank you for your angels that protect us. I thank you for your favor that surrounds us. I thank you that you are with us this week. Everywhere we go, you're with us. And Lord, if you are with us and you are for us, then what can stand against us? I thank you for victories this week. I thank you for blessings this week. I thank you for using us this week, Lord, to reach out, to invite someone to church, to minister to someone. Thank you, Lord, that we let our light shine this week. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you for all that you're going to do this week. I thank you for bringing us back again next week safely. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord one more big hand of praise. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I'll see you next week. I'll look out for you next week. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time, next Sunday.
Kim.
Yeah, but he was just talking about that.